baby making music. That's what that is.
That's right.
One of the greatest flute players of our time,
Ron Burgundy. We've got Don Raven, the second greatest flute player of our time. He had a very, very expensive flute while he was traveling in Chicago. And he lost it. He lost his $22,000 flute.
Where your flute at, Greg?
Where's your flute at, Don? Don, where's your flute at?
Thankfully, he's back now.
Don Raven is on the phone. He's from Boston, was in Chicago. Don, anytime there's somebody traveling with an expensive musical instrument, it always gets left in the back of a cab.
What the hell is wrong with you musicians?
What's the matter with you guys? Come on! You know we're right, Don. You know we're right.
It's so true. Yo-Yo Ma left his $2.5 million cello in a taxi cab in 1999, and I'm the flutist that lost his instrument. Mm-hmm.
And you laughed at Yo-Yo Ma back then. What an idiot!
Do you have to take a course in that? Like, you know, Michaels and I had to take communication history.
Right.
You know, if you're an artist, you got to take art history. Do you have to take a class when you're learning to play the flute professionally? Like, okay, these are all the people who've left their instruments. It's like a cautionary tale.
Don't be that guy.
You know what? I think this needs to be in the program now, but I did not have that class, now it definitely needs to be something.
Let's start at the beginning. Are you a professional flautist?
I'm a graduate student at the Boston Conservatory at Berkeley. I'm doing professional things now. I'm teaching 22 students, but I'm originally from St. Louis, so I was coming from St. Louis, going to Chicago for a little layover, and then coming back to Boston for school.
A little layover. What exactly does that mean?
I was staying in Chicago because of the weather, winter weather. I didn't want to risk any, like, cancellations of my flight. So I was meeting a friend in Chicago, and then we were on the way to Boston. So we stayed in Chicago, waited the winter storm, and then came back.
So were you traveling as part of a musical performance, or do you take your flute just everywhere you go?
I just take my flute everywhere I go.
That's got to make you popular. And of course,
it's fun because sometimes I can play in airports sometimes if I'm lucky. So,
ladies and gentlemen, it's your captain speaking. Does anyone have a flute by chance?
Well, you never know. You never know.
Looks like we're heading into the side of a mountain. I'd like to go down with some soothing flute music. Anybody on board? Yeah, Don, why don't you come up to the front and play for us?
But if you're riding the L, that's that's sort of a different type of a train. I know there's public transportation in St. Louis also, and then also in Boston. But do you just get, like, do you have other things with you? Because you're sitting in a seat, and the seats, you know, they're kind of carved out for your butt.
Yeah.
If you're sitting on the train. And so you're sitting there, and you can't, like, set the flute next to you so that it's leaning on you, because there's that little, it's got, like, there's a little, next to it is the other person's butt print, and so it sits there in the middle of the seat next to you.
So what all did you have with you? Your flute?
I had my carry-on, and then I had my laptop case, and what was happening, I took the L because I wanted to save money. Instead of paying for a $40 lift, I was going to try to get closer to the city so that way I could cheapen my fare and get to the Airbnb when it's like, you know, rather than paying $40, I'd rather be paying like $15 to get to the Airbnb.
Yeah, but on the L in Chicago, there's a dude having a conversation with a cantaloupe.
Yep. Man, that's entertainment right there.
Whoops.
Very true.
So you left it. It's on the L, and then when did you realize, oh my God, I lost it?
So I had just gotten onto the train, and I sat right next to the door, and I was startled because a man then sat next to me, and I was trying to follow social distancing protocols, and my laptop was charging my phone because my phone was at 2%, and I was like, already freaking out in that sense. So I moved to a single seat, and I set my flute right next to me, and I said, do not forget it. Do not forget it, Donald. I've never forgotten it, so this is not going to be a special scenario. spoke too soon. And as I get closer and I see the lift there starting to go higher, that's when I start packing all my stuff. And then I try to run out and I try to catch my lift. The doors are closing to the Blue Line train. And as I'm going up the stairs to catch my lift, that's when I realize, oh my gosh, my flute is gone. So I sprint downstairs and I knock on the CTA woman's office door and I exclaim to her, hello, my flute is on the train. Can you please call the past two trains? And coincidentally, she had left her purse on the train a couple weeks ago. And so,
wow.
Really understanding, and she found her purse. So I was like, there's this glimmer of hope.
I'm telling you, that is the luckiest thing part about this story, because what I found in my travels in Chicago is when you have to knock on the window of the door of the office of the person who's in charge of the train, they first thing they do is they go for their gun. Second thing they do is they don't want to have a conversation with you, so you're shouting with them through the glass because they won't open the door.
Right.
Yeah, that's very true.
In Chicago, when you're banging on the glass at the CTA, was her response...
No, but I guess a little close.
Okay.
So she was helpful, and did she... I don't even know. Do they have a way to contact the trains that are en route?
Yeah, she got onto the radio, and that's when they tried to call. But she came back to me with a really mournful face and said, I'm so sorry, they can't find your instrument on the train. And so I was in denial at that point, definitely devastated, but I was determined to get it back.
Is that when you said, you know what? My bad, it wasn't a flute, it was a bomb. They'll find that, won't they?
That they would definitely find that, that's for sure.
So they can't find it, so what I mean, it's $22,000. And how big is the case? The size of what?
Well, it's like it's really small. It's really small. It's like maybe... if you took two pieces of half, like if you folded two pieces of paper in half,
hang on,
it would probably be the size of the flute.
Okay, so like two index cards?
Not two index cards, but like a just a regular piece of paper.
You know,
standard letter paper.
Don, if there was only some way we could describe the size of something using numbers! Like, I don't know, something universal that we all understand. Like, oh, it's about 7 inches wide.
It's a cubit and a half.
Jesus, man! We're sitting here, listen to me, both of us, Michaels and I, we're folding up pieces of paper, looking at each other, trying to, it's like we're doing origami in here, trying to figure out how damn big your flute case is.
I folded up a piece of paper and I go like this, and go, oh God, no, way too big. Fold it in half, now make it with a, I'm glad you lost this damn thing.
How big was your case?
8 inches? 10?
Okay.
And this is not a joke, mister. Oh, God. 10 inches?
5 inches. 10 by 5 inches.
All right, that didn't hurt. Wasn't so hard. God, we're only here till 10, dude. So how... They put out the APB, which is in Chicago. It's a very important thing. You got Lori Lightfoot. She puts the city on lockdown. We've got a missing flute. Nobody move. Was it like that?
Not really. I wish it was. That would be great. But I ended up taking matters into my own hands at that point. And so I took a lift to the last stop on the Blue Line, which is the Forest Hills stop.
Okay.
And that's when I get there and I'm talking to police officers, talking to the CTA people at the last stop, seeing if anybody turned it in. And that's when I start hopping trains for 4 hours, trying to find it myself. Uh-huh. Because I was just so determined and did not believe that they couldn't find it.
And did you, I don't even know how this story ends.
I don't either.
Did you find it?
Yes. It has been found.
Where was it?
So a homeless couple had picked up the flute and taken it to a pawn shop. And so after NBC Chicago had aired it on that Sunday night, that's when pawn shop owner Gabriel Coconate called the Chicago PD and informed them that this homeless couple had come in, tried to say that the flute was their flute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I totally understand, you know, why they did that. I really empathize with them. And throughout the whole entire experience, I was just trying to help out Gabriel and the homeless couple. And so I donated to their GoFundMe, and I donated to them via Cash App.
Oh.
And now their GoFundMe, when I had donated it, was at $175, $200, and now it's at almost $16,000.
Wow.
And now the pawn shop owner is also going to be in the green because his GoFundMe is at $1,066 because he gave the homeless couple money since they used the flute as collateral.
Yeah. How much did they? That's what I want to know. I don't know. I see a lot of these come through here. I'll give you $100 for it. How much did the pawn shop guy give the homeless people for your $22,000 flute?
$500.
$500. That's an outrage. I should have ran in there and bought it. Right. So okay.
Right.
When you heard they gave $500, did it make you hit the roof? You don't know nothing about flute. This is a Stradivarius or whatever. I don't know what a good flute brand is.
Stradivarius. Yeah.
Stradivarius flute.
Yeah. I played a flutophone in grade school. I don't know if you remember those. Those were plastic and also quite valuable.
Actually, I should know. My daughter plays, she's lead piccolo in the Hawkeye marching band, and I know it was $800 when she dropped it the one time.
Yeah, those are piccolos. Totally different than the flute. Totally different.
So you get
that's
it.
Awesome.
No, it isn't. I wanted to study.
So do you have to pay La Cucaracha money for the flute since he gave a loan based on it?
Well, the Chicago Police Department, the pawn shop over sent over the flute to the Chicago Police Department without any monetary stuff.
Uh-oh.
And so thankfully he turned it in, and then the homeless couple reached out to me. Tried to tell me that I needed to send them money via Western Union, $550.
Okay.
So since they had taken the pawn shop loan, and the pawn shop loans accrue interest at a rapid rate, and they told me that it would be best to like go behind the police and just handle it that way. I didn't really want to do that.
Yeah, you're trying to save money on a lift at $40.
Yeah, which, by the way, that $40 was blown three times over easily. Trying to find trying to get on the train and hop the cars and take the lift to the last stop. And yeah, your savings of money and time is long gone at this point.
I know. I learned my lesson this time.
Now, so a lot of stories that we talk about on our show, you know, you would find your flute because the homeless people turned it in. And even though they were homeless, they would realize that this must mean something to somebody. So they would want no money in exchange for it at all. What we're hearing here is this is a homeless couple that has been obviously playing the system as long as they can be for as much as they can. And now they're trying to convince you that somehow you're responsible for the money that they borrowed based on stealing your flute and turning it into a pawn shop. But you seem like you're too nice to call them that.
No. I wanted to, I don't know what it's like to be homeless, and so I don't know what I would do in that situation.
Well, you have no home. You sleep outside. That's pretty much it.
Thank you. That's how Iowans look at homelessness, by the way.
Go indoors, dummy. So you did the right thing then, basically. You empathized with them.
Yeah, I just empathized with them, and I wanted to help them out. So I promoted their GoFundMe on the media, and I told the media about it, and it's been taking off since then. And thankfully, they're looking for an apartment for themselves, and hopefully they can start off life anew.
Wow.
And Gabriel Coconate is also going to be in the green, too. So,
and I have to ask, because, I'm viewing this story through my own eyes, and my daughter and her broken piccolo that I had to pay for. Are your parents still living? Did they hear about this story, or how did it go?
Yes, they did. I did not tell them I lost it at the beginning.
It was stolen.
But I didn't even tell them anything about it. I was just trying to handle things on my own.
Donald,
to get a lecture.
Your mother told me $22,000 for a goddamn clarinet, and you'll lose it the first time. I knew it. Was it like that? Who would have been more pissed, mom or dad?
Oh, definitely mom. Definitely my mom.
Jesus Christ! You know, if you didn't have your head on your shoulders, you'd lose that too. Where'd you have it last?
Donald, you're 23 years old. When are you going to grow up? Was it like that?
Well, thankfully, she was actually really kind about it because I had found it by the time she realized. So
yeah, plus it was her 22 grand, not yours.
Yeah.
All right.
It's so when? How do you go from, I mean, I assume you've been playing the musical instruments, probably the flute, for a long time. So you start out like every other kid, right? You do the instrument rental at school, and then, you know, you show a real promise. Maybe your music teacher around maybe high school, early high school, says, you know, this kid's pretty freaking good at this, and he probably would be better with a better than rental flute. So then maybe you upgrade to like your first ever flute. I don't even know what the cost is. So what's the flute progression to get you to $22,000 flute?
So I originally started with a Toys R Us $100 flute.
Okay.
And then I went into a Yamaha flute, which is about like $800, $1,000. Then I went to an intermediate flute, which is going to be about $1,000 to $8,000.
And how old are you at that point? Because now you're on flute number three, and it's a considerable expense at this point.
There's a comma in the number.
Yeah.
Yeah. 15. I'm 15 okay. at that point. And then sophomore year of my undergrad, I was 19. Mm. And that's when I got my current flute. So...
And I'm expecting that your first flute or first chair or whatever they call it at this point?
Yes, I was.
You damn well better be with a $22,000 flute.
Who's second chair and how much did he spend on his flute?
He's got that one from Toys R Us.
Yeah. Where's the one from Toys R Us, by the way? Or did you lose that one, too?
Well, that one's definitely not in good shape anymore.
Well, not when you leave it on the subway.
No, really.
For God's sake. Oh, my. Are you still first chair? Because you said, yes, I was. So who's first chair now?
Well, we rotate.
Bull crap. The best gets it. There's no rotate.
So at the conservatory, we rotate seats. And I mean, I played principal a couple times. Now during COVID times, it's a little different. So,
yep.
But yeah, the flute that I got in undergrad was, that much money. My parents couldn't afford that much. So, the only reason why I was able to get the flute was because when my grandma died of cancer in 2016, she left money in her will to pay for a new flute.
Wow.
And she wanted me to continue my career. And that's why the flute is more than the price tag. It's a sentimental value, too.
For sure.
Yeah, you'd think you'd be a little more careful with it if it was...
Oh, give him a break.
I know. Jeez. I know.
Donald, do your grandmother proud. Go play your flute. Join Jethro Tull.
Please, that's all I got. Well, that's a great question, though. Jethro Tull is the only... That's the only... Jethro Tull and Ron Burgundy are only two references. But you must have had a... if it's going to sound weird to us, but like, who's your inspiration growing up?
Well, I really admired Mark Sparks of the St. Louis Symphony. I took lessons from him, and
oh,
I
he's
like
trash. I'll hook you up with somebody good, man. I'll hook you up. I know this guy Zomfir kicks ass.
I'll definitely keep him in mind.
He's great, man. He plays a different kind of flute. It's a frying pan flute or some damn thing. It's great. He's the best. Dude's half horse, half human. He's an animal on the
you
instrument.
You have to send me that.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so is that what you aspire to be? Like a touring flautist? Is there any money in that, or...
So, I know it's weird to say, but my teacher in my undergrad was always like, flautist is pretentious. So we like flutists, apparently.
They got to make up their mind, man. We just learned flautist. Now I can't unlearn it.
I really, that's one of my dreams in my life is to become a principal flutist of a symphony somewhere.
Okay.
And hopefully teach professionally and be able to just inspire youth of the future. So
sure.
That way we can help become better people and better musicians.
Right. Well, if music is in your blood and if you have a passion for it, then that's what you chase, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's for sure.
Definitely
make people smile.
Yeah.
So you chase that, you chase your missing flute, and once those two things converge, then you will have your dream. And
All right. Now, when you're teaching, the next time that you have students and you want to be real serious, here's something you can do. You go in with your flute in one hand and a big onion in the other hand, okay? And you hold it up and you say, class, this is an onion and this is a flute. Do you know what the difference is? And no one will know what to say. And you say, I'll tell you what the difference is. And hold up the flute and go, nobody cries when you chop up a flute. You'll own that class. And that's when you say, I am gall damn serious about the instrument. Forget what you read in the media about where I left it. That does not matter. So
I feel like he's writing that down for future reference.
Really? I just say he's laughing and go, oh my God, when is this interview going to be over? Well, I'm glad you have a sense of humor about it, and I could totally. God, when my daughter dropped that thing, I was livid, and so I'm living vicariously through your parents. They were not happy. They were not happy. Not to your face, at least.
You can see the entire. You can see the entire story at twodorks.com. It also links to the story from the New York Times, which has the links for all the GoFundMes. If you are as empathetic as Donald is, it also talks about the pawn shop owner, Gabe Chimichanga, and how he basically facilitated this whole thing. So it's a great story because this is seriously one in a million. You would otherwise never find all those things had to come together for you to get that flute back, and it's just amazing that they did.
There's also a PDF of a lost and found preemptive poster campaign, so wherever you're going to be traveling to next, our listeners can help look for it before you lose it. So all right, Donald.
Sounds great.
Thanks for chatting with us. Best of luck to you. I'm glad it had a happy ending, and thanks for sharing your story with us.
Thank you all so much. It's been such a pleasure.
All right.
And this is so great.
All right.
Have a great one.
Take care.
Play on.
See ya. Yeah, it's if it's a very expensive instrument, you're going to forget it or lose it someplace.
Flute your flute to Carol Gregg. Now you know Gregg is a flute man. He a flute man, Carol. Go ahead, ask him. Who's your favorite football player, Gregg? Doug Flutie.
You're listening to the Dwyer and Michaels Morning Show. Live on the 97X app. Where you can record stuff on 97X.